You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A happy Tuesday and welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. Truly one of the best weeks of sports in the entire year. You just had the national championship game in college basketball last night. We got the Masters upcoming on Thursday. We got a great slate of Champions League games coming up in a little bit, about a couple hours. Brad Thomas standing by. Join me to talk about both of those things. We also got a great slate of baseball that we will get into. Casey Hudson going to join me on later to the show to talk some NHL. And then, as always, we'll wrap it up with our best bets for today. Anything that you guys have, again, there's a lot going on. We're going to talk about championship futures for next season in college basketball. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube.com/OdysseySports, or Twitter and Instagram at the BetQL app. Let us know what you are on this Tuesday. Let's get this thing rolling. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line and check in with Brad Thomas. You can follow Brad on X at Mr. Brad Thomas. He's a betting analyst for NBC Sports Bet. Brad, always great having you on the show, man. It's Masters Week, and for guys like us that love golf, it's one of the best weeks of the year. Should be a great tournament. Scottie Scheffler is a heavy favorite this week at plus 400. But Brad, obviously now that we got all this live stuff going on, right, and we don't see these guys as much as we used to, and they only play with everybody else four times a year, when you're handicapping Augusta this time around, What are some of the things that you're looking for this week when you're putting guys on your card?
Yeah, so I guess I'll touch on the live guys first. I think a lot of people forget, and it's easy to forget, right, without them playing in the PGA Tour, how good these golfers are. This is the first year that we have live golfers playing in the majors with data, shot-by-shot data for the live golfers, so we know how they're performing in terms of strokes gained. It's really important to know that information because whether you agree with Nick Faldo or not and his statement saying that the live guys are playing resort courses, it's partially true. While I do kind of want him to backtrack a little bit because they did play at Mayakoba and they did play at Doral, which were former PGA Tour courses that were not the hardest, but they're good tests. We do have the data for them. But really, like, whether it be me or anybody else who's going to be talking about the Masters and handicapping it, you're going to hear so many people talk about all of these trends, right? These Masters trends. It's not just like an icing on the cake. It's not just a pretty bow on top of someone's head. It is real. Augusta National is one of the stickiest golf courses that is in rotation on the PGA Tour and in golf in general. And why I say sticky, that means if you look at the data and you look at the trends, it's most likely to correlate year in and year out, which a lot of places don't have that. So you're gonna hear a lot of trends like the last 12 major winners have had a top 15 in the season before. You'll hear that they've at least finished in the top 20 at the Masters before. Only three debutants have only won, two debutants, excuse me, have only won the Masters. So you're going to hear things like that, and it's true. And a lot of that has to do with mentality as well, too. Like Brooks Koepka, I think he was the one who coined this phrase, and I've been using it ever since. It was probably like 5 years ago when he won the PGA Championship. He said, when I go to a major, I know that I have an advantage over everyone because I can eliminate half the field before they even tee off, and a lot of that is the mental aspect.
Yeah, no question about it. And you mentioned the trends. Augusta year in and year out is one of the most predictive kind of tournaments that we play all yes. year. So Brad, who are some guys that you were looking at this week?
Yeah, I went with the chalk, right? I took Scottie Scheffler at an amazing price at plus 750, and generally I wouldn't like even talk about him on any shows because his price is so drastically different at plus 400. But it's the Masters. Just make sure you pay attention to your favorite sports book because they honestly will give you a boost. They're going to give you a boost, give you some kind of odds generator that will make him more palatable. But we have to remember, I have to play devil's advocate. Since 1985, there's been 15 golfers who are plus 450 or lower, and only one golfer of those 15 times has actually won the event. And that was in 2005 when Tiger Woods won at plus 350. At one point, Tiger Woods went off at minus 125 and he finished T2. But I think when you have a guy as dominant as Scottie Scheffler T to green, you have to take him in strong consideration. Scottie Scheffler has been just gaining strokes, T to green. His Achilles heel was his putter, right? His putting was awful, but he switched to the mallet putter, and he's been a gainer in every event that he's played since switching. And what's more impressive, he has two wins and a runner-up in that time. Two wins and a runner-up. So you're telling me the guy, the best golfer in the world, switches his putter and instantly becomes a threat to legitimately finish in the top two in every tournament? I think that's worth more than just plus 500. Like, if someone said that we were going to price Scottie Scheffler at plus 250, I would not be upset. I would say totally understandable. This guy's playing berserk. And I want to mention one more thing about Scottie Scheffler. At the Houston Open, he didn't even play good. He had a putt, a 5-foot putt on 18 to send it to a playoff. He did not play well. He played pretty poorly and still almost won the tournament.
I mean, it's insane. Brad, my favorite stat is that he's played 32 rounds in this calendar year. He's only shot worse than 70 one time. I mean, the consistency from Scheffler is absurd. We were talking about the LIV guys a little bit earlier. You were talking about Koepka. DeChambeau's in that 33-1 range. Cam Smith, DJ, Patrick Reed has played well here throughout the years. Obviously a past winner. Any LIV guys that made your card this week?
Yeah, Joaquin Niemann made my card, and he would have made my outright card if his price would have stayed a little normal, right? Like, and this is just me just kind of going off the top of my head because I don't remember the exact price, but back in November, right before his win, he was like 90-1 to win the Masters. I know a lot of that had to do with whether he's going to play or not, but a lot of books, if they don't play, they'll go ahead and refund your money. I'm taking him to finish inside the top 20. I think he's live to win, but there's no way on this green earth that I'm going to pay plus 2100 for Niemann to win a major, especially when his best finish has been T16. But speaking of his best finish, that was his last time out there. I think Niemann today is even a better golfer than he was last year, and certainly the 2 years prior to that. He won the Australian Open, like I said, but he's also won two other times on LIV. He won that full field event in the DP World Tour. And if you want to talk about statistically, if we're just taking strokes gain data, there's only two golfers who are light years above everyone else this season in strokes gained data, and that's Niemann and Scottie Scheffler. There's also some other stats that correlate pretty well with success here, that Niemann is in the top two with him and Scheffler. And I said this, and I'm going to keep saying it. If your name is tied with Scottie Scheffler in any strokes gained metric, I think something's going pretty well for you.
I would tend to agree with you. We're getting a question here, Brad. Yukon Singh on Twitch wants to know, what do you think of Phil Mickelson? Top 20 finish at plus 425. He was a runner-up last year. Did you do anything with Phil, or did you stay away?
I personally stayed away, but I don't mind that price, right? It's the kind of reason why I like Batia, but a little bit stronger. Lefties at Augusta are really nice. Natural drawers of the ball. Now they're lefties, so it's going to be a natural cutter of the ball. He can play every shot on the golf course, and much like those who are excited about Tiger Woods to make the cut, he has the mental edge over half the field. He's a winner here. He's had success here. He's a veteran, and he's really crafty with his wedges and crafty around the greens. I think that price is great. It's actually funny to me to think that that price is better than Bryson DeChambeau to finish top 10 at plus 300, and that was a price that I loved. But I think I like Phil Mickelson a little bit better in terms of value.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a pretty good price as well. Brad, before I let you go, again, great Champions League slate today. A couple of monster matchups. Arsenal, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Man City. Did you do anything in either game today?
Yeah, so with the Madrid City game, I'm going to have to wait for the lineups. I guess Ancelotti's going to be switching up his formation for this match, which is going to be drastically different on how they try to attack City. So that's just a wait and see till lineups come out for that. But I did take Arsenal money line. I played it at minus 130, and I think you can find some minus 142s around, minus 140s. That's okay, guys. Take that. I wouldn't take it past minus 145. But we have to remember who the manager of this Bayern Munich team is. Thomas Tuchel, the ultimate pragmatist. Tuchel in leg ones of away fixtures will always, always just try to escape. He will sit deeper. And we have to remember this Arsenal team's playing great in 2024. In this calendar year, only two losses. One was an away loss to Porto, which was okay. They ended up winning the tie anyways. And then they lost in the FA Cup to Liverpool, who has the best attack in the entire world. And then they've won six home matches across all competitions so far this year. So at minus 130, minus 140, I think those prices are still great.
He is Brad Thomas. You can follow him on X at Mr. Brad Thomas, betting analyst for NBC Sports Bet. Brad, always great having you on, man. Appreciate the insight. Enjoy the Masters. Enjoy Champions League. We'll talk again soon.
Hey, thanks for having me. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, baby. Brad Thomas, let's move on and talk some more Masters. It is a Tee It Up Tuesday. And Brad said it with Scotty Scheffler. I thought he was making some great points. Scotty's plus 400 to win this week at Augusta. But some interesting angle that you guys might want to keep in mind is for future major tournaments, right? This is the time of the year where everybody starts locking into golf. Once we start the major season, once college basketball is wrapped up, this is when people start to kind of look into handicapping golf. Everybody's so focused on Scheffler's price at plus 400. If you look at the next three majors that are going to be played this season, Scotty is plus 650 at the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship, and then he's plus 800 at the Open Championship. So Brad was alluding to it. If you listen to the show, I've talked about how Scotty, how dominant Scotty has been, not only this year, but last year as well. So if you don't want to take him plus 400 at the Masters, but you do want to bet Scotty to win a major at some point this year, I think I would look into maybe grabbing either one of those plus 650s for the U.S. Open or the PGA, or maybe even a plus 800 at the Open Championship as well, because there's probably a good chance Scotty wins a major this year, if not multiple. And again, probably not going to get much better value on those prices, because as we know, once those events start coming up on the PGA Tour schedule, that's when those markets are going to start getting hit. So maybe take advantage while you still can. We talked about some guys yesterday. We talked about Colin Morikawa at 50-1. I just really like that price. Colin has not been playing great golf over the last month and a half, but this is a guy who has a couple of top 10 finishes at Augusta in his last 2 years. He's one of the top players in the world when he's right. And just seeing a 50-1 next to Morikawa's name, too good to pass up. Will Zalatoris, so good in the majors. We love him as well, 28-1. And then Corey Connors posted a video throughout BetQL social media, whether it was on Instagram or on X, TikTok as well. Corey Connors is my long shot this week. I would keep an eye out for 66-1. Corey missed the cut last year, but before that, his last three trips to Augusta finished in the top 10. And again, this is one of the most predictive courses that we have all year. Why? Because it's a shorter field, and obviously they play the same course every single year. So Corey's had success here. He's made the cut in all nine events that he's played this season, and he's got three straight top 25 finishes. So good course history, good form, and a great price at 66-1. Some other golfers I would keep an eye on: Victor Hovland. I talked about Morikawa's price at 50-1 being really good. Victor Hovland at 33-1, that's something I can get behind. It opened up at 28-1 this week. Now it's moved up to 33-1. I thought coming into the year that Victor Hovland was going to win a major this season. One of the top players in the world, such a good ball striker, and his short game was much improved. He's kind of been up and down at the Masters. He's gotten off to some slow starts. If he can have a good round one, that could maybe catapult him into having a good weekend. But 33-1, something that's definitely interesting me in Victor Hovland. Brad mentioned it, only two debutants have ever won the Masters, guys playing the tournament in their very first year. Wyndham Clark fits that this year, but he's the number four ranked player of the world. He won the U.S. Open last year, and this guy's game is really tailor-made for Augusta because he can drive it far, he can drive it straight, good iron player, but he is a great scrambler, and he's got really good touch, and it feels like in all these elevated events so far this year, Wyndham Clark has been in contention. So I don't know if I take him to win at 28-1, but he's minus 125 to finish in the top 20. You can get him plus money, top 10, top 5 at some good numbers. Wyndham Clark is a guy that I would keep an eye out for. Justin Thomas at 33-1 is another guy. He parted ways with his caddy, Jim Bones Mackay, who's been a longtime caddy, won a ton of majors with Phil Mickelson. Him and JT won the PGA Championship as well. Justin Thomas, if there's one event, much like most of these golfers, that they want to win, it is the Masters. And JT really hasn't fared well here. Big part of the reason why he brought on Bones to be his caddy was to win Augusta. So I think the fact that the Masters was upcoming and that's when JT decided to part ways with Bones, I think is pretty telling. But that price at 33-1 is starting to get in that range where I'm getting interested. JT was one of the hottest golfers to start the year. He's cooled off a little bit. His best finish here is fourth. but he's got as good a game as anybody when he's on, and maybe the change of caddy will do him right. So JT could be a guy to watch out for. And then Cam Smith at 40-1, another one of these live golfers that we don't ever see, and now he's coming into Augusta. And ever since that Open Championship win at St. Andrews, when we have seen Cam in these majors, really hasn't fared all that well, but he does play well at Augusta. Three of the last six times he has played at the Masters, he's finished in the top five. And it tends to be every other year that Cam Smith plays well. So we'll have a top five finish, and then maybe he'll finish 30th. And then he'll have a top five finish, and then maybe he'll finish in the top 40. Well, last year was the year where he didn't play so well. So if history tells us anything, this is the year where Cam Smith finishes in the top five, maybe even wins the thing at 40-1. Those are some golfers that I would keep an eye on. Of course, we're going to keep talking the Masters tomorrow. But now it's time to look at college championship basketball futures for next season as we go off the glass. Never too early to start looking at 2025. I know it's tough to have your money tied up for until literally a year, until next season, next NCAA tournament. And obviously there's so much going on. We're still trying to figure out some coaching changes. Obviously this Kentucky coaching vacancy, once it's finalized, the Cal's going to Arkansas, is going to be a huge domino effect. Obviously this era that we're in with NIL and transfer portal, it's tough to kind of guess and maybe place a bet on some of these teams when you don't know what players are going to the NBA, what players are going to transfer, who's going to use that COVID year. But at the same time, it also creates a bunch of opportunity. If maybe you take a shot on one of these teams, and right now they're being priced because odds makers are leaning a certain way with certain players maybe leaving or certain players going to the draft, whatever it may be, and you can take advantage of some of those markets. We'll start with the favorite at BetMGM. They're co-favorites, Kansas and Duke. Duke's going to be the one that I'm looking at, though, at 11-1. Why? Because they're going to have the projected number one pick in next year's draft in Cooper Flagg. He's an absolute superstar. Tyrese Proctor, Caleb Foster, Mark Mitchell also definitely should be back for Duke. But if Cooper Flagg lives up to the hype, the Blue Devils could be a problem. Gonzaga at 20-1 is another team that I'm looking at. Mark Few and his first year without Drew Timmy in a long, long time. It took Gonzaga a little bit to get going, but once they did, they really hit their stride towards the end of the year, and they're going to bring a lot of those guys back. Nembhard, their point guard. Nolan Hickman, their two guard. A couple of their big men, Ben Gregg, and also Graham Ike, and it's Gonzaga. And with the offense that they play, you know they're probably going to attract a guy or two in the transfer portal as well. I would look at the Zags at 20-1. I'd also look at Alabama at 20-1 as well. Nate Oates said he's staying at Bama, which is huge for recruiting. And with Bama making the Final Four and being so close to a national championship, you wonder if that's going to lure any of those guys to come back and try and win a natty next year. Mark Sears, Grant Nelson, Nick Pringle, all these guys are guys that maybe could go to the draft, maybe could test the waters, or could come back to school. And with some of the guys that they have two McDonald's All-American five stars coming in as well. Maybe Bama gives it a shot at winning a natty. So that's a team I would look at 20-1. Iowa State at 30-1 is another team that I would look at. A lot of guys returning from a team that won the Big 12 Conference Tournament. Also were a number two seed in March Madness. Their backcourt of Taman Lindsey and Keyshawn Gilbert's going to be back. Also, Manchilovich, a freshman who is great for them, is going to be back. We know Iowa State is going to be elite defensively. If Otzelberger in the transfer portal in recruiting can get some more offensive weapons, Iowa State could be a problem. I also like Florida at 40-1. The Gators, Todd Golden was in his second year this past season, got a lot of transfers, and it took them a little bit to get going, but once they did, they were red hot down the end of last season, and now a bunch of those guys are returning next year. I would look at the Gators. And then my one long shot that I really like, and again, this goes back into what I was saying when I was kicking off the segment of maybe you have to take some chances and hope that certain guys come back, but the Dayton Flyers at 150-1 could be really interesting. If Daron Holmes, their big man, comes back, and Malachi Smith, their point guard, who was injured for most of the season, comes back as well to go along with Kobe Brea, who's one of the best shooters in the country, and Nate Santos as well, the Flyers could be a problem. Again, they were the seventh seed in the tournament, lost to Arizona in the second round, but they were without Malachi Smith. If he comes back, Daron Holmes comes back, Dayton certainly will not be 150-1. So I think that's a really good price there on the Flyers. And then obviously some of these other teams, UConn, Kentucky, Baylor, I'd wait and hold off on them because Scott Drew, Danny Hurley, you don't know if these guys might be going to Kentucky. And then Kentucky, you don't know who their coach is going to be. You don't know if that's going to be a team that you want to back in the futures market. So staying away from those three teams for next season. All right, let's go to Big League Peach now. Look at today's MLB slate. As we will start with the Orioles and Red Sox getting going in about an hour. It's the home opener at Fenway Park today. Brian Bello going up against Corbin Burns. Orioles are 3-0 this season in series openers. They got their ace on the mound today in Corbin Burns. I'll take the O's, minus 135. Going to pass on White Sox and Guardians today. The White Sox are absolutely abysmal. But again, I really don't want to lay the run line with the Cleveland Guardians, so I'm staying away. Brewers and Reds, Frankie Montas against Joe Ross. Electric game in Cincinnati last night, a ton of runs. I think tonight is more so of a pitcher's duel. I'll take the under 9.5. Yankees and Marlins. Yankees minus 190. The Marlins plus 155. AJ Puke going up against Carlos Rodon. This is the line that I was expecting yesterday when Nestor Cortez started. The line in the Yankees-Marlins game made no sense. I took the Marlins plus 125. They got absolutely obliterated. Now this line is respecting the Yankees as it should. I like the Yankees to roll again today on the run line, minus 1.5. We got the Mariners and the Blue Jays. I like the Mariners to bounce back today against the Jays. Seattle's now 0-3 in games that Luis Castillo have started, but they've been good with Kirby on the mound. I'll take Seattle. How about the Mets winning in Atlanta yesterday? They were down 4-1, came back to win that game. Think the Braves bounce back today on the run line. I like them in that game against New York. I like the Royals in the first five on the money line today at home against Houston. You got Cole Reagans going up against Christian Javier. Reagans is awesome, and he's been really good to start the season. I like that price with the Royals in the first five, minus 115. Dodgers at the Twins. Dodgers won 4-2 yesterday. Didn't get as many runs as I thought we would, but I think we're going to get some today. I like the over 8.5 in Dodgers and Twins. Phillies and Cardinals, good pitching matchup today in St. Louis. You got Zach Wheeler going up against Sonny Gray. I like the Phillies. I think you're getting a little bit of a discounted price with Wheeler pitching today at minus 135. I'll back Philadelphia. I like the Rangers on the run line today at plus 105 against Oakland. Alex Wood against Nathan Eovaldi. Think Texas is going to roll at home. Think they're going to score a ton of runs. Would maybe look at a Rangers team total over as well. D-backs and Rockies. Rockies with a nice win last night against Arizona and Zach Gallen. Merrill Kelly on the mound tonight. Give me the Snakes to bounce back. -1.5 at minus 120. How about Tampa? Lost 7-1 yesterday to the Angels. I don't think that's going to happen again. Getting a nice price on the Rays today at minus 125. I'll take them to bounce back with Aaron Civale on the mound. Nationals with an 8-1 win yesterday over the Giants in Blake Snell's debut with San Francisco. Washington was dominant last night. I kind of think they could win again tonight. I'll take the Nats plus 145 on the money line against San Francisco. And then the Cubs and the Padres in San Diego tonight. Ben Brown going up against Joe Musgrove. Cubs bats have been on fire lately, and you're playing out in beautiful San Diego. I don't see that changing. I'll take the over 8 in Cubs and Padres. Let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Casey Hudson joining me here on a Tuesday. And Casey, what are the 5-star plays that BetQL has for us today?
Hello, PJ. So we actually have no 5-star bets today, but if you have the BetQL app, you can catch a pair of 4-star bets over in the MLB.
All right, very nice. Casey, what are you betting tonight? We got a great slate of NHL games. Where are we going?
I know, there's so many great games to choose from tonight, but one of my favorite bets, one of my two favorites, is going to be DeBrincat to pick up at least 1 point versus the Caps tonight. Sorry, PJ, but he's on a bit of a streak versus this team. 3 points in 2 games thus far this season, but career-wise, he averages 1.3 points per matchup, so you got to put it in the bag with him. And then my next favorite bet is going to be Guentzel over just 2.5 shots on goal tonight. I was surprised that this total came in so low, seeing as how he's had 5-plus shots on goal in the 2 meets so far this season. Plays very well versus the Bruins. We know that's going to be a big playoff vibe tonight, so I like Insel to pick that up. +4 game winning goals against this team specifically, I think he'll be a factor.
All right, I like both of those, Casey. Any totals that you like tonight in the NHL, overs or unders, that catch your eye that you're going to bet?
Yeah, this one might seem a little crazy, but statistically, I think that we'll be in a safe place. Canes versus Bruins. As I mentioned, this is going to be a neck and neck, very playoff vibe matchup tonight. And as these two teams have seen each other, they've both picked up a win out of the two meets this season. But what I've loved is that both meets have equated to just 5 goals. So I actually like the even 5 at either plus money of 160, or you could take the under 5.5 to play it a little safer at -110. I think we're looking at, 2 goals apiece for these teams, if that, or maybe a 3-1 victory for the Hurricanes, because I think the Hurricanes need to make a statement in this win tonight. Another total that you might want to look at is going to be Sabres Stars. Stars have great goaltending. They're getting in their playoff role. Sabres have been pretty good as of late. They can pick up in the goal tally, but they're going to face a stronger defense. So I see that coming in under 5.5 as well.
Very nice. Casey, everybody loves a good underdog. Who's your favorite outright winner tonight on the ice?
I'm going to go with Montreal at +120. They've won one game versus the Flyers. They're a really fast team. They also are one of the top teams to create consistent odd man rushes. So they're very hard to go against in the attack. We saw it happen versus the Tampa Bay Lightning team. Even though the Lightning came out with the victory, they're a hard team to tango with for 3 full periods. And the Flyers are kind of in a tough spot right now. Both of these teams are bringing in less than 3 goals per game. But Montreal has also defeated the Panthers and other top teams in the league. So as long as they can keep their net a pinch cleaner, I think that they're the underdog to pull off the win tonight at plus money value.
Casey, great stuff as always. Enjoy the games tonight, and we'll talk again to you later in the week.
See you later, PJ.
For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. It is time to wrap up the show as we are going to PJ's plays. Got 3 minutes left in the show. If you guys have any questions, comments, best bets for us, you let us know right here on Send It In, as we got to start a new streak. We came up empty yesterday to start off the week, but it's all right. We're going to bounce back. We're going to a guy that got us a hit last week, and I think he's going to get us a hit yet again today. That is Bobby Witt Jr. They might as well just call him Bobby Hit Jr., because that's all he does. He's batting .350 this season. He's going up against Christian Javier, who he's 2-for-2 against in his career. I like Bobby Witt Jr. to get us a base hit today. He is my pick in going streaking. My prop lock today, it's going to be a little of a scary one. Game of the night in the NBA, Celtics and the Bucks. Milwaukee 2.5-point dogs tonight to Boston. Giannis is going to play, but I'm going to take his under points against the Celtics. For whatever reason, whenever Giannis goes up against the Celtics, it feels like Boston is one of the teams that pretty much defends him the best. He's played them twice this season. He scored 24 and 21 points. Now, Giannis has been on a heater offensively here as of late. Bunch of 30-point games. His point prop is at 27.5 tonight. I'm going to go under that on Giannis against the Celtics. My dog of the day is also going to be in the NBA. We're going to take the Clippers +7.5 against the Suns. This line opened up Phoenix -3.5, went up to 7.5. There's going to be no Kawhi Leonard tonight for the Clippers, but I just think this is too much of an overreaction. I got a chance to watch the Suns play in person on Sunday against New Orleans and really wasn't impressed with them all that much. I thought New Orleans was the better team. I think the Clippers might even be the better team without Kawhi, so too many points for me. I'll take the Clips +7.5 against Phoenix. Shawnee Sharp, what say you? What's your best bet here on this Tuesday?
Yeah, Peach, I'm going to be fading my Chicago White Sox because they're terrible. I'm taking the team total under 3.5 against the Guardians today. The White Sox have only gone over this once this season, and they also lost that game still. So, I mean, if you want to parlay that with Guardians money line, Logan Allen going up for the Guardians today, shoved against the Mariners, who are a way better offense than the White Sox. So, yeah, you call them the White Sox because they're terrible. So we're going to go under 3.5 total, team total.
Man, they've only gone over that one time this season. That is rough. Good bet there, Logan Allen against the White Sox. My best bet's going to be Wyndham Clark to finish in the top 20 in his Masters debut at -125. Again, only 2 times has a debutant won the Masters, so I don't think Wyndham Clark's going to win, but do I certainly think he could be in contention? Absolutely, and I'll gladly lay the juice at -125 for him to finish in the top 20. His game fits up really well with Augusta. He's one of the longest hitters on tour. He hits it straight, but the key is that he is a great scrambler. He's one of those power hitters that also has nice touch around the green. So Wyndham Clark, top 20, -125, my favorite bet. To recap our best bets for today, Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be our pick in going streaking 2-for-2 in his career against Christian Javier, who he's facing today. Giannis under 27.5 points today against the Celtics. He scored 24 and 21 points against Boston this season. Clippers plus 7.5 against the Suns, my dog of the day. Shawnee Sharp is going with the team total under 3.5 on his White Sox today. And my best bet, Wyndham Clark, top 20, minus 125 at Augusta. Plenty more Masters talk coming up tomorrow. If you guys missed any of the show, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast wherever you get the podcast. We had Brad Thomas on today. We had Casey Hudson on today. We talked college basketball, national futures for 2025, and a whole lot more. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Good luck on all your bets.